On today's Trial Run podcast, is this the year of the backup quarterback? The NFC North is absolutely loaded. We've got college basketball news and a huge tilt in Kalamazoo, Michigan this week between our Central Michigan Chippewas and the Western Michigan University Broncos. All that and more on the Trial Run podcast. Gardner Minshew, Mason Rudolph, Daniel Jones, Josh Rosen, Kyle Allen, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Luke Falk. These are all names that at the beginning of the season we did not ever see touching the field. And now look, here we are. What is this, week three? And we've got all of these guys playing significant, meaningful snaps at the beginning of the season in an NFL game. And this is the craziest thing I've ever seen as far as the quarterback position is concerned in the National Football League. Would you agree?
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were reciting poetry to me at first when you started that off.
Does Gardner Minshew not sound like the name of just a hugely poetic man?
Yeah, I was literally about to say you had me at Gardner Minshew. That's gorgeous. I'm sorry, what was the question? I wasn't even paying attention.
Well, here's what I'm basically saying is all of these guys are getting significant touches and significant minutes in the beginning of the beginning of the season here. And have we ever seen anything like this in the entirety of the time that you've been watching the National Football League, where this many young guys, backup quality or backup standard quarterbacks, are getting this significant of playing time this early in the year? Because we've seen it as the grind of the NFL season rolls on throughout the season. We see guys get injured. We see people who seem to be coming off the streets and playing. But to be this early in the season where they're essentially going to get the entire season at their disposal, I've never seen anything like this.
Right. A lot of the times there will be backup quarterbacks playing at this time because of nicks and bruises. But, yeah, never to the level that they're going to get significant playing time, at least for most of them. But some of them aren't injuries, like Josh Rosen. He's just taking over because the QB situation along with every other part of Miami is completely dysfunctional and abysmal at this point. So that instance is an injury, but you're right. A lot of these, like Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, obviously with Andrew Luck retiring.
Gardner Minshew,
Mason Rudolph.
Luke Falk.
They're essentially taking over for the majority of the season.
Yeah, and we've got, like I said, Minshew, Rudolph, Jones, Rosen, Allen, Bridgewater, Brissett, Falk, all of them. I want to do a little mind exercise here. I want you to try off the top of your head to rank these quarterbacks in the level of impact that you think they're going to have on their team. And this can go all the way into, do you think they're going to be able to help their team hold water while waiting for the starting quarterback to come back? And that is probably going to be true on teams like the Saints and maybe even the Jags, depending on how good their defense is this year. With other teams, it's going to mean a lot less, obviously, with Josh Rosen. But I'm going to let you go first because I want to put you on the spot and see how well your critical thinking skills work when you are put in a difficult situation.
I have a question. Three questions, actually. First,
oh, God.
First, are you talking about best quarterback, or are you talking about best quarterback right now, or are you talking about most impactful? Because those are three different things.
I'm going to say best quarterback right now and most impactful if you can kind of combine those two things.
Okay. So we're going to, based off best quarterback right now, I'm going to say Jacoby Brissett at number one.
Really? He had a very good fantasy week last week. Yep. I know that for a fact.
And then if we're going to go literally who is playing the best right now, what the hell? I don't even know who Kyle Allen is, but that man popped off last week for the Panthers. So if he's not two, he's like three.
You don't put Gardner Minshew ahead of him?
I'm getting to that. I think I'm going to put Minshew at two just because I have a love affair with him. And I do think he's going to play a big role in the Jaguars season this year. Then I am going to go with Kyle Allen. I don't think in the long term he's going to be up there, but as of right now, if we're going off of that. Then I'm going to say Teddy Bridgewater.
Man, Daniel Jones is low on your list.
Yeah.
Very low.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the thing I'm...
We haven't got a large sample size from him, I'll say that.
Right, we haven't got a large sample size, and it's not... Skeptical is the wrong word, but the thing I'm hesitant with Daniel Jones about is that at any moment, he can easily lose his job again to Eli Manning just because of the pedigree that Manning brings.
Well, the pedigree...
No, he does. He has two Super Bowl wins under his belt, and he is a upper echelon quarterback.
Are you...
Not right now, but namesake.
When I think Eli Manning, I think 16 for 22 for 180 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's the stat line that's I associate with Eli Manning.
I mean, maybe recently, but when I think of Eli Manning over his career, I think of veteran quarterback who's won two Super Bowls.
Of course you do.
Okay, but to be fair, I'll put Daniel Jones next. And then I didn't see Luke Falk, but I heard he popped off, so I'm going to put Luke Falk after that. Then Mason Rudolph. I don't think
he's a solid second half.
Right. I don't think he's elite, but I think he can.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are elite.
That's true. That's fair enough. Maybe Daniel Jones in the future. Maybe Minshew and Jacoby Brissett. And then finally bringing up the rear, Josh Rosen. I was not high on him coming out of college anyway. So, I mean, he hasn't really lived up to anything, but it's hard to on the Dolphins, admittedly.
I was about to say, it's almost impossible to get a fair read of Josh Rosen when the only two franchises he's played for, the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins, both at particular downturns in their franchises right now. But let me show you how the proper way to do this exercise. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, well, you had time to think about this. You put me on the spot here.
I really did not. Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew.
Hey, I'm two for two so far compared to your list.
Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater. Kyle Allen. Mason Rudolph. Luke Falk. In that order.
Well, are you
going... Mic drop.
Are you going off of are you going off the same standard that I was? Are you saying the best right now? Because Kyle Allen popped off. I remember. I was watching it happen.
Kyle Allen is going to lose his job to Cam Newton next week.
Right, but that's future.
But you just used that same argument with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough.
Yes, you're goddamn right. And let's talk about speaking of Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, who had a very nice week for the Giants. He apparently took control of the huddle, something that has not been done there in probably about a decade or so. And the Giants found their answer for the future in a guy like Daniel Jones, because unlike a lot of these guys, he is not just a contingency plan for right now. He is a guy that they are planning on having him take the reins after Eli Manning leaves. Have the Giants found their answer for the future? And is Dave Gettleman currently high-fiving everybody in the office, giving everybody the finger guns, stomping up and down and telling everybody that he was right about Daniel Jones when everybody in the world thought that he was wrong?
David Gettleman looks like a big finger gun guy to me.
Oh, he does. He easily does. And this is a direct ripoff of what I heard from the Dan Le Batard show this week. They talked about this exact same thing.
Did they really?
I could easily see him walking up and down the halls, popping off finger guns to everybody who he would see in the hallway the office.
Giving a noogie to the intern.
Yeah,
things like that.
Everything like that. He's in a great mood this week, guaranteed.
Well, I'll tell you what, Daniel Jones, if he hasn't silenced the haters, he's at least quieted them for now, because he hasn't done anything to disappoint the Giants up to this point. Which, honestly, as a Giants quarterback, as we alluded to earlier with Eli Manning, you were so not politely bashing him. It's kind of a change of pace for the Giants fans.
Well, that's my job. I just got to bash everybody. That's just kind of what I do around here. Lots of NFL news this week, actually. Melvin Gordon today, allegedly returning. There was a video on, I believe, Keenan Allen's Instagram live feed. Melvin Gordon walking into the locker room. Looked happy to be there. We got a lot of stuff happening with him. Does he make the Chargers a significantly better team? Because Austin Eckler's done a very good job in his absence thus far. What kind of impact does Melvin Gordon have, and does he make them a guaranteed shoe into the playoffs at this point? Because they have not looked extremely solid to this point in the season.
No, I mean, we've brought up the stat before on this podcast. When the Chargers didn't have Melvin Gordon last season for four games, they went 4-0 in those games. I think he's a very talented player who will add some significant depth to the Chargers, but I don't think he makes that big of an impact in terms of wins and losses for the Chargers.
Yeah, also RIP to all Austin Eckler fantasy owners, because he's about to take a backseat, and everybody who drafted him high thinking that Melvin Gordon would pull a Le'Veon Bell and not come back this season and eventually get traded, that's just a fat L for them all the way around.
What's kind of funny and unique about this Melvin Gordon situation is if it wasn't for Antonio Brown, this would be the big story of the offseason.
Yeah, thanks, AB.
This was kind of a big deal what Melvin Gordon did, but no one talks about it because Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown.
And this is the first show in about four shows that we haven't let off the show with him. This is our first
mention
of his name.
I hate to bring him back up, but yeah, there you go. We might have to ban him like that former Duke player, not Pelican player.
Yeah, well, like we don't talk about him. We know that. I want to bring up something that you brought up last week that needs to be addressed a little bit. You brought up the Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson matchup that happened this past week between the Chiefs and Ravens. Both stellar numbers for both guys. The Chiefs ended up pulling out the win. They're a significantly better team than the Ravens, we would think at this point anyway. Mahomes was the winner for sure out of this, but Lamar Jackson did not disappoint in any way, shape, or form. And he also said after the game that he hates running and would much rather throw the football. Do you think that's just something that came along with the fact that everybody associates him as a runner or qualifies him as a running back and not necessarily a quarterback? And what do you, I want to hear you double down on your own take and tell me exactly what you thought of this matchup this past week.
Well, if I was Lamar Jackson and if I had those skills, I wouldn't hate running. That dude's a freak of nature when he takes off with the ball. I don't know what that's about. That's such an enviable thing to say. Yeah, I hate doing what I'm so good at.
Yeah, I hate running. I only run a 4.4 and can get around, you know, make everybody miss in the open field. That's what a hassle that must be.
He looks so slippery when he runs. It's amazing.
That's a gigantic hassle.
But what do you want me to talk about Lamar Jackson, how he did?
I want you to talk about your take that you had last week, and I want to hear you either double down on it, say what you thought about the matchup, something. Talking to the microphone.
My take was just that it was going to be a good matchup, and we were going to see if Lamar Jackson's legit. And based on what we saw, I think he is legit. I mean, he didn't have the output that he had the first 2 weeks, but he had a very good output, and no one was expecting that he was going to continue that sort of magnificent play throughout all the season as he did in the first 2 weeks. So it was expected for a little dip, but the guy looks really good, and the Chiefs are a really good team, and he performed admirably on the highest stage. So I think it's at least safe to say at this point that Lamar Jackson is a very solid quarterback in the NFL.
Is he as good as Patrick Mahomes?
No, I never said he was either.
Well, I recall you saying something about Lamar Jackson being an MVP, Patrick Mahomes being overrated, something like that.
Those words, something
along those lines.
Never came out of my mouth.
You might have to fact check me, but I'm pretty sure you said that.
Pat Mahomes may be going for his second straight MVP.
Yeah, he's a relatively decent at football. He's kind of one of those dudes.
Except when he's throwing no-look passes to literally no one.
Yeah, I love to see that. That cracks me up every now and then. The Chiefs are a very good football team. Speaking of very good football teams.
Excellent segue.
Yeah, excellent segue. We got, you might have heard of them. They're called the New England Patriots. They may never lose again, actually, this entire season. 19-0, maybe? What do you think? Because they have looked unbeatable the first couple of weeks, beating up on the Dolphins. They have the Bills this week. The Bills are apparently a formidable opponent. They're 3-0, which seems to be a threat to public safety. Bills Mafia jumping through tables and setting fire to the world and everything happening. But Tom Brady, big news came out of camp today, actually. Tom Brady sitting out of practice. He actually cited age as a factor, which I am a little bit surprised that he would say that because he seems to be the guy that never wants to tell anybody that his age matters. But sitting out practice, citing age, like I said, as a factor, what kind of things do you think that – or what do you think that psychologically wears on the team or Tom Brady at all? When, you know, he definitely realizes that he's getting close to the end and now he's actively sitting out practices when he needs to.
I mean, it could be that, or it could just be that Tom Brady has such a high degree of pedigree and clout that he can say, I'm going to do what I want and you're going to let me do it because I'm Tom frickin' Brady. And, like, really, like, who is going to say, no, Tom, you shouldn't sit out of practice? Like, if anyone in the...
Bill Belichick. That's
no,
an easy answer.
Are they going to sit him? Like, are they going to suspend Tom? There's no chance. If anyone has deserved the right to do this, I don't even agree with that. I think you should practice. I think if you're part of a team, if you've signed up for it, if you're getting paid millions of dollars, frankly, you deserve to... Or you owe the team all your work, but... If anyone does deserve to sit out like this, it's Tom Brady. I mean, the man's made New England what they are.
Is Max Kellerman pulling the Dave Gettleman move in the office today? Because he talked years ago about Tom Brady falling off a cliff. It still hasn't happened yet, and maybe we're getting a little bit closer to that. Do you think he's giving everybody finger guns in the office today?
I tell you what, if Max...
He's high-fiving Stephen A.
If Max Kellerman's win from this Tom Brady story is... If all he can get out of it is that
Tom Brady's sitting out of practice...
Then that just kind of shows you the kind of... reporter that Max I hate Max
yes
Kellerman.
But
I'm just gonna come out and say
I promise you Max Kellerman is taking this as a huge win today. He's walking around, he's doing cartwheels down the hallway, like he's doing everything. He's sitting at the water cooler telling everybody, hey, did you see my take? Did you see that Tom Brady settled to practice today? He's definitely that guy. That beard, oh my god.
Definitely
makes me feel that way.
Sorry to break it to you, Max, but Tom Brady is an elite quarterback still just because he sits out of a practice.
Yeah, very well said by you.
Thank you.
Yeah, speaking of elite quarterbacks, another fantastic transition by me. We got quarterbacks galore in the NFC North, starting with our own Matthew Stafford for our Detroit Lions, going all the way down to Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Mitch Trubisky in that order, as I might say. And I just want to put this out right now. The Lions Super Bowl bandwagon is leaving the station currently. So if you want to hop on, you better hop on right now because we don't have room for any more passengers after this week. If they win this week against Kansas City, this is going to be the beginning of the end for the city of Detroit, because everybody's going to be setting the world on fire, and we are going to be the happiest fan base in the entire world.
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The Lions are going to kill the Chiefs, they're going to kill the Packers, and then they're going to kill the Vikings in three concurrent weeks. And then they're going to end up losing somehow to the Giants, Raiders, and Bears all in embarrassing fashion. That's just what the Lions do.
Don't say that.
That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. They're going to end up, I'm looking at their schedule, they're going to lose to the Bucks. They're going to lose to the Redskins, probably. I mean,
Broncos.
Who knows with the Cowboys, because they're a bunch of head cases, too. But I'm not, you know when I'll be sold that the Lions are a Super Bowl contending team? When they're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah,
that is when I will be.
But the bandwagon is going to be fully booked up by then.
I mean, you're actually probably right. You know, that would be the weirdest thing to think about. There's always a bandwagon when a team, you know, comes out of nowhere. Like, you've seen it with the Browns now. Imagine our Lions being the bandwagon team.
I just can't.
I can't fathom that.
I simply can't picture that in my own head. That's just not possible.
Look,
at all.
If you weren't with us from the beginning, then we don't want you. And you know, I'd put that, if I tweeted that out, I'd put that with the nail polish emoji. You know,
oh, yeah.
You
know,
as the nail Yep, to flex on them. So if you weren't with us from the beginning, then
we don't want you.
We don't mess with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you spoke about the Bears on that schedule, too. Bears, a little overrated, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit?
You know what? I was of the opinion that Mitchell Trubisky was actually a pretty good quarterback, but I think
you're an idiot.
You've turned me around a little bit. He's kind of dog meat. I'm not going
to
lie.
He's actually terrible. He can't throw to the left side of the football field. So basically he has 26 yards to work with as opposed to the 52 that most normal quarterbacks have.
That was good math. Quick math right there.
I was pushing the envelope there. I was actually really scared. I was going to say something. My first thought was 36 for some reason.
That's the difference between a decent podcast and an elite podcast.
Yeah, that's 100% factual. Aaron Rodgers, you talked about the Bears being a little bit overrated. Aaron Rodgers, who has been just the cornerstone of the NFC North for however many years now after taking over for Brett Favre, he's kind of taken a back seat in this offense, this Matt LaFleur offense. Shout out to Mount Pleasant, because Matt LaFleur is a Mount Pleasant kid. He's taken a bit of a back seat. The numbers have taken a step back a bit, but the team's winning and they're succeeding. He seems to be relatively happy with it right now. Do you think the same thing can keep up if he's consistently like just not doing the things that he normally used to doing?
I mean, there's always been a little bit of a gray area as to what Aaron Rodgers' personality type is, especially on a team. And I think
Aaron Rodgers' personality is a gray. It's just a gray area.
Right.
That's the personality.
Right. So
he doesn't have one, I don't think.
I wonder if we're really going to find out this year if this trend continues with Aaron Rodgers kind of taking a back seat in this offense. I wonder if we're going to find out if he's that team player type of guy who's willing to take it for the team as long as the Packers are winning, or if, you know, he's going to demand more action, demand higher stats if he wants to be the man in Green Bay. And we're going to find that out if this continues. I kind of hope it does continue. I mean, I hope the Packers lose because, you know, for the Lions' sake. But if they don't, I want to see how Aaron Rodgers reacts to this. It's going to tell us a lot about who Aaron Rodgers is as a football player and just as a guy in general, I think.
We've gone all the way down the list of NFC North quarterbacks, starting with Stafford. We went to Trubisky. We went to Rodgers. And now I don't particularly want to read what I put on the slide
right
now.
Please do it. I think they'd love to hear that.
I don't think I can do that. But
I had a good chuckle over it.
My mom might have something to say about that. But I just want to come out and say right now that Kirk Cousins, you are just a sorry excuse for a football player. I actually cannot deal with Kirk Cousins. I can't deal with him just coming up, putting up subpar numbers every single week, just getting absolutely paid and almost fully guaranteed money, coming to the Vikings and doing absolutely nothing. They're a worse team than they were with Case Keenum. I just can't handle you getting paid that level of money. And there's been reports coming out that he's a bit of a head case. He actually gets frightened at the big games.
Like, you like that?
Yeah, he can't play in the big games. So I'm sick of Kirk Cousins. I'm here to tell you, I'm off the Kirk Cousins train right now. And I was never really on it, so I can't take him right now. He's borderline Mitch Trubisky bad in the NFC North, although the Vikings are just a better team than the Bears, I think, right now. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it's getting a little bit absurd with the Kirk Cousins stuff.
Tell you what, that's the Michigan State difference right there. Spartans will.
He's from Holland, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holland boy, Michigan State boy.
Yep.
That's right.
My old
Catholic gentleman.
My old Christian. Thank you very much.
My bad.
My old dogs, East Grand Rapids Pioneers. We played Holland Christian a time or two.
Really?
Yep.
Turn the page. Absolutely turn the page. And our last thing with that we want to talk about with NFL football, and it relates a little bit back to our own college right now. You probably heard, if you weren't living under a rock, Antonio Brown is indeed taking classes at the Central Michigan University, and that's happening online, so we're never going to see him on campus. So it's really not that big of a deal. But I wanted to shout it out at the very least to let everybody know that CMU has clout that you wouldn't believe.
I cannot tell you how many, like, absolute idiots would, like, be talking in class or talking, walking across the street and being like, oh, I can't wait to see Antonio Brown on campus, or, like, I can't believe they're letting him back on campus.
You are actually a clown if you believe for one second that Antonio Brown is moving back to Mount Pleasant to take classes here.
You think really that he's going to move from his Miami mansion all the way back to freaking Mount Pleasant in the middle of nowhere?
Maybe he'll live with President Davies.
That would be, honestly, I think I'd pay big money to see that.
I actually think I would.
They'd be inseparable roommates.
Should we take a break right now? Cut it off? Come back? Some college basketball, college football? You think that's a good idea?
I love it.
All right, we'll be right back with that. This is the Toronto Run Podcast. It's that time of week again. Your boy Brennan Bevins is back with This Week in History. Take it away, big fella.
All right, we're going to travel ourselves back to 1844.
And north of the border.
And north of the border, your territory, where
That's right.
Canada defeated the United States by 23 runs in the first cricket international tournament.
Am I the only human being on this earth that did not know that the U.S. even has a cricket team?
Oh, they're a storied program, Nate. Storied.
I can't believe they had one in 1844. Was anything happening in 1844?
I mean, cricket.
Cricket, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't know. More importantly, I'm talking about the U.S. I can't even believe that Canada has a cricket team. That's bizarre to me.
It's kind of baffling that they beat us. I mean, we're the freaking United States. We always win in sports.
I'm telling you right now, what happened to this country? We used to be so promising, and then we lost that cricket match in 1844, and everything went sideways.
Make United States cricket great again.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We haven't had a whole lot of college basketball news, but we are back, baby, because this... We are one step closer to March Madness once again. Cue the music if we had it. I wish we did because college basketball is back. Practice is officially underway, and I'm going to put you on the spot again. I need some way too early predictions from you because the Final Four right around the corner, and we need answers now.
Well, Michigan State is far and away the favorite to win the championship. They're my favorite to win the championship, which is why they won't.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because whoever is the favorite does not win. That's just a given in college basketball. So Michigan State will not win the championship. That's the only solid prediction I can make. Other than that, I mean, you've got your powerhouses coming back. They're loaded, stocked with talent. North Carolina, Duke should rebound fine after that one certain player is leaving, along with Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett. So those two teams will be exciting. I'm excited. Basketball season is the time where mid-major basketball can really...
ESPN Plus goes brazy.
Yeah, they can really flourish. You got your Winthrops, teams like that, your Belmonts.
Your Radfords.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Your UNC Greenvilles.
Your Central Michigans, if you will.
Your Central Michigans. That's right.
Speaking of Central Michigan basketball and starting up, you want to tell the folks at home what you've been doing?
Correct, yeah. Big news coming out of Mount Pleasant. I've recently acquired a job as a student manager for the basketball team. I'm actually going to work out with a player as soon as we get done with this podcast. So,
oh, you must be hot shit.
Big things coming, and we got lots of stuff going on. I'll be on the sidelines for a few games, wiping up sweat, doing stuff like that. But, yes, big news coming out of a mid-major. And I wanted to tell you my predictions, and you're going to love them because my predictions, scalding hot, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan State, Virginia, they are all going to be good.
Wow.
Every single one of them.
That
you heard
insane.
It here first.
That's insane.
That's right. They're all going to be good.
You know what? Here's the only thing I really hope from this year's basketball season, particularly obviously in March Madness. I want redemption for last year's tournament because aside from the Elite Eight, it was garbage.
Yeah. Elite Eight on, it was pretty good. But prior to that, I was not satisfied at all with the upsets, anything. I think UC Irvine was the only major upset that we got to see. Outside of that, not a whole lot going on.
I want your Lipscombs of the world to be in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I want.
Your Lipscombs, your CMUs, your Radfords.
Yep,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm talking about. And we just talked about the tournament last year. Would you like a little bit of redemption for your boys last year from the tournament? The boys down in Ann Arbor who happened to lose in the Sweet 16? You want to talk about that a little bit? A little outlook on Michigan basketball?
I mean, new coach... Juwan Howard.
New coach, who dis?
Absolutely zero head coaching experience in basketball, so this could go one of two ways. Either he could take a team which, while losing talent, still has a lot of talent left over. He could pull them all together, create a cohesive unit with a couple freshmen coming in, and prove that while he doesn't have head coaching experience, he has a lot of NBA experience, and he could make a real team out of this, if not this year, in the coming years. Or this could – I could see this being an absolute train wreck. I could see Michigan being –
taking a huge step back.
I could see them being the 9th, 10th best team in the Big Ten. I could see them not making the postseason.
How is that your worst nightmare? Is that right up there?
I mean, based on how Michigan football is doing, if Michigan basketball decided to shit the bed –
Oh, you just wait, because you know exactly what we're about to talk about in our next talking point about college football. You know.
I'm
so excited.
I may never leave my room again.
I'm giddy to hear you talk about that. But as bad as it's going to be, might not be as bad as what's going on with Georgia Tech and NC State right now. Georgia Tech just got a postseason ban, which while Michigan might not make the postseason, at least they have the possibility of doing so.
Well, that's just as bad. we might as well give us a ban.
Yeah, Georgia Tech postseason ban, 4-year probation. And I have a real question to ask you also, though. Is Georgia Tech, just as a university, are they just on an eternal postseason ban because they're Georgia Tech? Because I feel like I never see them in any major postseason event. They're never relevant in any sport. They're just kind of there. They just exist.
I mean, I think
am I wrong about that? Am I off?
It's probably a mixture between postseason bans and the fact that they're just ass at sports in general.
I mean, you saw the triple option offense. Yeah, you're telling me that didn't work?
My point stands.
Yeah, I would have loved to see them win a national championship. They were so close. They were right there the whole time.
Right on the cusp.
And then the NC State allegations, obviously those have been swirling around. Dennis Smith Jr., everybody talking about him receiving benefits. And everybody's saying he's categorically denied it straight up from the start. And
breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Dennis Smith Jr. does not want to admit that he was given money. But I'm here to tell you right now, why the hell would Dennis Smith Jr., who is an elite talent, go to NC State if they didn't pay him? That's my thought on the whole thing, because there's no way he's going to go to NC State, who doesn't have a historical basketball program, when other programs are calling his name and he's a great talent. There's no way he's going to NC State unless they give him something.
I mean, that is factual. However, a lot of players recently have been going to places that are closer to home for them. So he's from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Shout out to J. Cole. But, I mean, you can see a little bit more now why he went to NC State, because there has been this increasing trend of players staying close to home as opposed to going to an elite basketball program, especially when you consider that players aren't really going to teams to win championships. They're going to stand out, and they're going to get drafted.
I mean, they're like the 4th best program in their state, though. Like, they're behind Duke and North Carolina.
I'll admit it. It does look suspicious.
Duke and North Carolina specifically, but also Wake Forest would even arguably be a better program than NC State.
It does look suspicious. I'm playing devil's advocate, and that is at least a reasonable reason for him to go to NC State.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing anything. I want to find out what level of recruit he was, if he was getting looks from those other programs, because that would be an interesting thing to know before we even bring this up.
I mean, it does seem it would be a coincidence for the team that was willing to pay for him the most also happened to be the team that was closest to where he lived. So you see what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, not really, but...
You don't think that's a coincidence?
Not really. No.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Very good.
Put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Very good. College football, the time has come. I've been waiting this entire week to hear you get on the airwaves and tell me what you thought about this game. But I'm going to hold off for a minute. I'm going to give you another moment to mill around in discomfort. And I'm going to start by saying that there is a huge tilt this Saturday in Kalamazoo, Michigan, down south. And you boys, we're going to be there. CMU, an 18-point underdog. Not going to matter, because we're about to go see a huge upset, and they are going to be back into MAC relevance, and I could not be more excited to go there this Saturday at noon. Hopefully it doesn't rain.
They may frick around and just hand us press passes there, because they're going to obviously know that we're from the Trout Run.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That's going to be a fantastic game. And CMU, for as well as, I mean, Western hung around with Syracuse last week, but I want to talk for a minute about CMU hanging around Miami.
Applaud the boys.
Yeah, I want to applaud the boys back home. This is such a mid-major thing to do. We're plotting them for a loss. But, I mean, Central hung around Miami. Miami, obviously, a little bit down as a program
they're
right now.
They're kind of cheeks, I'll admit it.
Yeah, they're kind of bad. But
we take wins where we can get
But they're
them.
An ACC. We didn't get a win. But they're an ACC.
We take moral wins where we can get them.
They're an ACC Power 5 program. And any time we don't get blown out of the water by a Power 5 tournament, I will take that any day of the week over the 61-0 blowout of Wisconsin, which we probably won't mention the rest of the year because I don't want to hear about it. But they hung around. David Moore played relatively well. I mean, we got a bit of a program building here again. I'm actually really excited to see what they can go. I think eight plus, having CMU be plus 18 and 18 point underdog against Western, that is insulting in a rivalry game. And I'm really hoping they go there and stick it to Western and the guys out in Vegas.
I'll tell you what, if Central can beat Western, there are few teams in the MAC that can beat Central.
I mean, Kent State's really good this year. Buffalo's coming off a very impressive win this past week.
But Western's in the upper echelon of the MAC.
Oh, they certainly
are. I'm saying if they can beat Western or even hang around Western, then they can hang around with anyone. Whether or not they win is, you know.
I believe the MAC is very competitive in general anyway. I think Central can pretty much hang around with anybody in the MAC. But yeah, I agree. If they beat Western, that's a huge step in the right direction in terms of MAC competition.
Honestly, a win here would be a program-defining game, I think, because it would show that Central is back from the depths of John Bonamigo.
Yeah, 1-11 season. And don't even get me started with the Lions special teams, because that's where John Bonamigo went to the special teams coordinator job for the Detroit Lions, who are just, I mean, that unit is just an absolute train wreck if you've been following them at all. But yeah,
we're not surprised at all by that.
No, not surprised in the slightest. We used to be big John Bonamigo guys, and then
he was venerated, honestly.
And then 1-11 football season happened, and that changes a whole lot of people's opinions really quick.
Amen to that.
I'm going to come back to what we really need to talk about today.
I don't think we do.
But I want to go to Washington State first.
Oh, good.
Blowing a 32-point lead in the second half. They had, I believe, 8 minutes left in the third quarter. They had a 32-point lead and ended up losing in overtime to UCLA. 0-3 UCLA.
The Fighting Chip Kellys.
Yeah, the Fighting Chip Kellys in overtime. The Pac-12 is so bad, man. They're absolutely terrible. I can't watch. I really enjoy watching Washington State's brand of football. It's fun, pace and space, everything that's happening. It's fantastic to watch as an offensive fan. But on the flip side, that brand of football, that is just not quality football that's going to win anything against anybody. And that's why the Pac-12 just doesn't ever seem to play in any relevant games at the end of the season.
Ready for this hot take?
Scalding.
Barring an Urban Meyer college football comeback to USC, the Pac-12 will not win a national championship again until football is disbanded completely.
Until football is just done.
You heard it here first.
I mean, I don't know how that would exactly work, but we'll have to work with the details on that.
I'm telling you.
I would also like
come back to me in like 200 years, and we're going to see who's right on this one.
I would also like to wish a farewell to the Maryland and UCF hype. Yeah, Maryland obviously losing to, I believe it was Temple.
Yep.
Temple, who they lost to, and then Buffalo, a MAC team, went ahead and just blew out Temple last week. So I mean, we kind of see how that's going to be.
So MAC is better than Big Ten, is
so
what you're saying?
I guess that's what I'm saying. But Maryland, yeah, they're done. UCF losing to Pitt, their regular season win streak snapped. Is UCF done for the season now? Because I feel like this was absolutely their best chance to get recognized on a national scale, maybe even have a chance to get into the college football playoff. And now that they lost once the season, are they done? Because I think they're done for the season.
You mean, do you think they're going to stop caring as much?
I'm not even that, which they might, but I think they pretty much got an American Conference championship on lockdown, barring something crazy. But outside of that, they've pretty much already accomplished everything that they could accomplish the last couple of years as an undefeated team.
Oh, you mean are they done?
I'm saying on a national scale, wow, with the college football playoff, because I think certainly this year they had a reasonable, realistic chance of getting into the college football playoff if some crazy things happened, but now, that's certainly done, and I don't think they can their ceiling is now definitely lowered, because before, when they thought they had a CFP chance, that's completely disintegrated, and now they're fighting for essentially an American championship, which they've already got a couple in the last couple of years.
The only reason I'm going to say no is because Mackenzie Milton is coming back next year, and I think that's going to, A, hype up the fan base and the players, and B, give them a very good quarterback returning.
Yeah, but I mean, this year, they're done, right?
This year, I mean, there is still a legitimate chance that they can make a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, I believe that. Boise State's nipping at their heels,
yep,
though. Yeah.
Yep, Central Michigan's nipping at their
heels. Yeah, two loss Central Michigan, yeah.
We're right there. No, but UCF is not going to make the playoff this year. There is absolutely no. You know what? I actually thought that if they ran the table against the rest of their teams,
because they've been scheduling a little bit more quality opponents, right, than group of five or some power five teams. Yeah.
Right. I saw Stanford, and at that point, I didn't realize how bad Stanford was, because they actually are pretty bad this year. But they killed Stanford. They blew them out. I thought that maybe UCF was a really good team, which, I mean, they still are, I'm sure, but they're not to the championship pedigree. I'll say that much.
Yep. All right, the time has come. I want you to speak your truth. This is a safe place. Nobody's going to hurt you. I just want to hear you. I want to hear you vent about your Michigan Wolverines getting completely disbanded by the Wisconsin Badgers, who look elite. I'll give you that. But as a Michigan fan, I know this is eating away at you, and I'm frankly loving it because it's kind of funny.
I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed. It's, you know the relationship when you've got the one partner who's just had to deal with shit all the time, and eventually they're just worn down. And I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed at this point.
Well, you're going to be disappointed a couple more times because their schedule's daunting, and I personally can't see them.
You know, it's absolutely unfair that Michigans of the world who are just fighting to get back to the college football playoff or even the Big Ten championship.
You sound like such a whiner right now.
They're just fighting. They're trying to build their program back to relevancy. They're trying to do all these things, and they have the most uphill battle. They have to go uphill both ways on the way there and the way back, all that jazz. And then you've got the Clemsons of the world who literally play,
an ACC schedule.
Right. They play like Coastal Carolinas every single game, and they're loaded with talent. How come they're not playing the toughest schedule in the nation?
Let me just play you a song on the world's smallest violin, because you sound like such a Michigan fan right
okay,
now.
Okay, come on. Michigan.
Just entitled to an easy schedule.
I'm not even saying easy. we play seven ranked teams this year. Seven of them.
Oh, settle down.
That is over half the schedule is ranked teams. How is that fair? That should never happen.
It really be like that sometimes. I'm happy to see that I got you fired up, though.
You know what?
It makes me happy.
Here's what happened. If Clemson had Michigan's schedule, they would not make the playoffs this year.
Well,
they would not make the playoffs this year. They wouldn't.
I don't know about that.
They wouldn't. They'd be at least a one-loss, if not two-loss team.
Well, the good news for Michigan, at the very least, is their offense is bad and their defense is bad, so they kind of got that going for them. What is a realistic win total prediction at this juncture? What do you think?
You mean, right, like, now? What is their ceiling?
I think what is your reasonable prediction for what you think is going to happen the rest of the year? What do you think their final record will be?
I'm going to say they are going to be... I'm going to say 9-4. Because they're going to win their bowl game.
I would just consider regular season. I would say
8-4 then. Fine.
You're going to say 8-4 in the regular season.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's kind of what I had, but I was expecting you to highball it, so I would kind of undercut you. But
no.
Yeah, you have them losing to Wisconsin, obviously, which already happened. Ohio State, Penn State, and Iowa. Iowa or Michigan State, one of the two.
I'm just reminded a lot of the 2017 team when I look at this team. And at least in 2017, there were excuses. You know, we had Wilton Spate go out with injury. We had Brandon Peters go out with injury. We were on our third-string quarterback in John Acorn, who literally was the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen in my life. This year, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's just not good football. And frankly, we're going to learn a lot about Jim Harbaugh and his future with Michigan in the next coming weeks. I think we're going to learn a lot. If Jim Harbaugh can rally the troops, pull everyone together, and make this a
formidable team at the very least.
Not even necessarily a team that wins a Big Ten championship, but a team that leaves Michigan fans with a good taste in their mouth and hope for the future. I think that's important. If he can do that, yeah, he's going to stay. If he can't do that, he might still stay simply because, we had such an attachment to Jim Harbaugh.
He's got the key to the city right now.
Right. Essentially, he does. So he might still stay, but I'm telling you what, patience is running thin in Ann Arbor. Michigan fans are already calling for Jim Harbaugh's head, I think a little too soon, but I'm honestly at this point running out of excuses for the man.
Yeah, my favorite Jim Harbaugh set ever, which I saw on Twitter today, Michigan under Jim Harbaugh, they are 0-4 against Ohio State, 1-9 versus top 10 opponents, 0-7 as an underdog, and 1-6 on the road against ranked opponents, as well as having 5 losses of at least 21 points, 3 touchdowns, and they've happened in 3 of their last 5 games.
You know, it kind of pisses me off how much Michigan is the punching bag of college football. Like, what did Michigan?
I love this take. It's so easy to.
What did Michigan ever do to any of you people? You know who should be getting shit on? Michigan State is a horrible program now under Mark D'Antonio, and no one says crap about them anymore.
Yeah, you want to know why? Nobody likes Michigan. Everybody,
but Michigan State's terrible
Michigan,
too.
Michigan fans are just like they're entitled. They're annoying.
I'm not entitled. I'm very realistic. I'm level-headed about Michigan. They're not a good team this year. At least at this point in the season, they've shown that. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. I've told Nate this many times. I'm going to say it on the record now so everyone can hear it. Everyone wants to bash Michigan because of the fans, because they think that, you know, Michigan fans are just like, oh, we're going to win a national championship every year. We're always hyping up our program. But over half of that hype comes from the media, not from Michigan fans. And frankly, I know a lot of Michigan fans, myself included, we want the media to shut up in the preseason. We want the lowest expectations possible for Michigan football because we want to fly under the radar and then win the whole damn thing when no one's looking.
Is that just your biggest dream or what?
That would be my biggest – you know, here's a dream scenario for me. Well, I guess not dream scenario, but a scenario that would make me very happy. Michigan shits the bed this year, so everyone writes them off next year. Jim Harbaugh's on his last leg, but is still around as the coach, and then Michigan just ends up freaking around and winning the whole national championship.
Oh, I bet you'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would. I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah, on a different note, within the same game, the Michigan-Wisconsin game, Jonathan Taylor might actually just be the second coming of Christ because he is phenomenal, and he made Michigan look absolutely silly.
I'll tell you what, Michigan's not great, as we've just talked about, but Wisconsin looks elite. They look elite as a team. Yeah, I think they're a very good team.
Which leads me to my next point. We're a quarter of the way through the season, and
that's so sad. That's actually really sad.
But I've already messed around, and I've compiled a list of eight. There are literally, this entire season has only been a quarter of the way finished, and there are only eight teams that have any chance of making the playoffs, which is a little bit depressing. But the way I see it, there are literally eight teams that have any chance of winning or entering the playoff, and that would be Clemson and Alabama, obviously. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame, LSU, and Wisconsin. And outside of that, the outliers would be maybe Texas, Auburn, if they could somehow pull off a miracle like SEC run. But outside of that, Clemson, Bama, OSU, Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame, LSU, Wisconsin. Anybody outside of that that I failed to mention? I mean, those are the only teams that have even a chance right now, even a sniff at it. Because I don't think Penn State, the rest of their schedule, they have a grueling schedule also. They're not going to – I don't think they're that level of team yet. And then, I mean, outside of that, Texas has a tough schedule. Auburn has a grueling schedule through the SEC. It's just – it's impossible for me to see a team entering the discussion outside of these eight teams.
I hope this take comes to bite you in the ass and that a bunch of these teams are not even relevant, and then there's a lot of teams that make the playoffs that aren't on this list.
I'm here to tell you right now, four of these eight teams will be in it.
Really?
There it is.
You're willing to put...
I'm willing to bet the farm on it.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, but still.
Yeah. Chop this up and take it. Take the audio right now.
Well,
put it on freezing cold takes.
You know what? Should I make a playoff prediction?
Sure.
Okay, so you're going to have Clemson.
Yep, Bama.
That's a given. You're going to have Bama. I think you're going to have OU. I think you're going to get Oklahoma in there, unless they lose to Texas or someone along the way. And to be honest with you, I don't see the Big Ten or the playoff committee leaving the Big Ten out again this year. I think there'd be rioting in the street if they did. So even if you have a one-loss Georgia team, it's either going to be OSU or Wisconsin, I think, is going to be
at this point. Yeah.
I think at the end of the season, barring a two-loss Big Ten champion, I think you're going to see either Ohio State or Wisconsin being that fourth team over LSU or Georgia. And then Notre Dame, you need to join a conference, I think. I think last year was an outlier, being an independent team making the college football playoff. And the fact that they got embarrassed by Clemson does not help their case for the future. So I think if Notre Dame ever wants to have a chance to really get back to the playoff, at least on a consistent basis, they're going to have to join a conference.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Time now to wrap up the show the way we do every week, the Who's Your Daddy of the Week. I'll go first, I guess. I've kind of already mentioned it. But to me, this week, meaningful football games are Jim Harbaugh's daddy. I read you the stat already. It kind of speaks for itself. No questions asked. I don't even think anybody can dispute it. Meaningful football games, they are Jim Harbaugh's dad. No question.
You just had to get one last shot in, didn't you?
Yep, I did. I really did.
All right, well, for my daddy of the week, if you people on on Twitter have been keeping up with the storylines. I'm going to say Dak Prescott is spicy nuggets from Wendy's daddy. So if you don't understand the reference, you need to retune your Twitter and your sports life.
Yeah, you might want to go look at that because
it's comedy. I'm going to lie.
It's very funny, and if you don't know that, then you're definitely not. You don't have enough Twitter clout, and you're going to want to check that out. Another one down. Another episode dead. We'll be back next week, same time. This is the Trial Run Podcast.